A very good morning to you, my dear listeners. A very good morning to you, Namibia. Welcome to Eagle FM. It's a Monday morning. So how was your weekend? Hopefully you rested enough. As I always said, you know, weekends, sometimes, you know, we exhaust ourselves again in weekend. And when you come Monday, you're more exhausted than when you went for a weekend. Yeah. So weekend normally for you to rest. And when you come Monday, you are really, you know, fully charged. Okay. Fully recharged and ready to go. And as always said, we have a country to build. We have a country to develop. So welcome. It's a Monday morning. Hope is not blue for you. Mine is always green. It's a green Monday always. Hope is not blue Monday for you. So welcome to your favorite station. Welcome to your number one talk radio station in the land. And yeah, it's a Monday, the 16th of February. The year is 2026. Thanks for joining us at this point in time. And it's always our pleasure to have you in our company. So, yes, where are we? The time is 3 minutes past the hour of 8. And let me say thank you to David for crossing that, for handing over the mic to Ondangwa Studio. We come into you live from the Ondangwa Studio from now until the hour of 10 o'clock when we'll be handing over to Tate France again, when we go back to the capital and handing over to Tate France for Kuthamosha. So be with us, stay with us, and well, let's start. My name is Mike Oshoveni, and this is Unpacking the Day. So your daily dose of what really going on in business news, economic news, and political news. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers. Numbers that making headlines. So we keep it clear and always, always, always asking the question that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment do not necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM, but we are here to unpack what others are saying, spark meaningful conversation, so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space. This is your platform to unpack the headlines with me and get to the heart of the stories. So welcome if you're just joining us. And as usual, we go back to history. We start with a segment, our first segment, that looking at on this day in Africa. So let me welcome our listeners across Africa. Good morning to you and welcome back to On This Day in Africa. So the segment where we bring you the moment that shape our continent. So today is February the 16th, and we have three major stories from the history books. So the first, we go back to 1977. This was actually a dark day for Uganda. On this day, the Anglican Archbishop of Uganda, Janani Luwum, was arrested along with two government ministers. The Archbishop was a brave man who spoke out against the military rule of Idi Amin. All right? And the government accused him of planning a coup, which actually was a lie. Well, shortly after his arrest, he was killed in a staged car accident. So his death shocked the whole world and became a powerful symbol of the fight against Amin's dictatorship. And let's move forward to 1990, a time of great change in Southern Africa. So on this day, the land of the brave, Namibia took a huge step towards freedom. Now, the Constituent Assembly voted anonymously to elect Sam Nujoma, Sam Safashuna Nujoma, as the country's first president. So this was the final piece of the puzzle before the country officially gained independence from South Africa just a few weeks later. And finally, for the sport fans, we go back to 1957. On this day, the very first African Cup of Nations came to a close in Sudan. Now, Egypt took home the trophy as the first champions of the continent. Now, it was a small tournament with only three teams. Well, South Africa was also supposed to participate, but was actually disqualified because they refused to send a mixed race team. So, but the event kicked off what has become Africa's biggest football competition. Now, that's your look at history for today. Thanks for tuning in to On This Day in Africa. So, when we come back, we look at our thought for the day today.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
So, welcome back. Welcome back. Our time is about 8 minutes past the hour of eight. And today is a Monday, February the 16th. Our thought for the day today is, if you kill time, you will bury the opportunities. If you kill time, you will bury the opportunities. Now, the proverb is a metaphorical warning about wasting time and its consequences. Now, it means that if you spend your time doing nothing useful or delay acting when you should, you miss chances that might never come back. Now, in other words, opportunities are tied to time. When time is wasted, those chances disappear, just as something buried cannot easily be recovered. So, if you kill time, you will bury the opportunity. So, choices you make and decision you make today, make sure that you don't kill time. So, because you may just bury your opportunities. So, that's our thought for the day. And welcome. Welcome. Hopefully, you make the right choice and decision today. So, a very good morning to you if you're just joining us. And when we come back, we get... No. What do we hope? What are we? What we have for you today? So, what is that we have for you this morning? Well, the e-newspaper, our news e-newspaper. It's a Monday today. The Villager is the Monday edition. It's out. Hopefully, you subscribe. And if you're looking for the latest business and economic news, get yourself a free copy, man. Get yourself a free copy of The Villager. You don't need to do much. Eh? There's nothing much. You don't need to do much. You're just simply sending a WhatsApp message with your name and email. That's how you subscribe, you know, by simply sending a WhatsApp message with your name and email to 081-200-4144. And be sure that you save that number, you know? And The Villager is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So, make sure that you subscribe. That's all what you need to do. So, yes, and there are two stories that we're actually following today. So, one that make headlines, well, one that make the front page is the Southern African Customs Union. Well, it's facing a critical dilemma. So it's facing a critical dilemma. While it remains, so SACCO still remain a vital source of revenue for member state like Namibia. But its restrictive trade policies, you know, it have some kind of restrictive trade policies, are increasingly now viewed as a barrier to economic flexibility and independent growth. So when you're looking at now in the modern geopolitical landscape, so that is something, you know, getting some scrutinies now. So, and we're going to dissect that. We're going to unpack that. So, and if we have time, well, at the African Union, Union's African Water Investment Program Summit in Addis Ababa, President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah urged continental leader to prioritize targeted investment in sanitation services. Now, that's to prevent now conflict, uphold human dignity, and achieve sustainable development goal 6. It's also a second story in today's edition of the villages. So make sure that you unpack that with me. So, and make sure that you subscribe to read more about the stories. So when we come back, we get into our first stories. Stay tuned.
Omudiha wutekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana nongeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moya o, ota ingongo tisamweni. Anangeshifa ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayaguro nirandisoma yoe, yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende pimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omupashi pareki uimopo yu mo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma onora heta tuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano oniyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
Well, it's definitely you. The U in UNAM is definitely you. Welcome, welcome. A very good morning to you. Very good morning to you, my dear listeners. You are tuned in to Unpacking the Day. And I'm your host, Mike Oshoveli. It is another beautiful, beautiful day in the land of the brave. So how are you wherever you find yourself in this beautiful country? Well, today we are talking about SACCU. All right? If you don't know what SACCU is, it's Southern African Customs Union. So we are talking about SACCU. This is a story that actually made a front page in our newspaper, The Villager, a story by Nino Menavali Hangala and H.T. Walenga. So make sure that you subscribe to The Villager and be able to read for yourself some of these incredible, interesting stories. It's a story about money. It's a story about power. And it's also about whether Namibia is really in charge of its own destiny. Are we in charge of our own destiny? That's what we're looking at. So now, let me also tell you a story, okay? Let me tell you a story. So the year was 1910. The world is a different place then. In 1910, definitely the year was a different place. The world was a different place then. Namibia isn't even yet, Namibia is not even Namibia that we know as we know it now. It was not Namibia yet. And we were still under colonial rule. And someone decided to create a custom union. South Africa, Botswana, Lesotho, Eswatini, Swaziland by then, and eventually us. Now the idea was very simple. Well, trade freely between ourselves, no tariff, well, no barriers, one big happy family. Isn't that great? Now, fast forward to 2026. So we are still in that union. And here's the thing. Well, SACU brings in serious money for Namibia. And we get a 26% share of revenue. We get 26% share of revenue from the trading, from trading within this union. And that money, that money, 26, percent share of that revenue goes straight into our national budget. That means it pays, it pays schools, it pays for medicines, hospitals, it pays for road construction. So that means that money, it's very, 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 very important. Okay? Now, but here's the catch. There is a catch, and it's a big one. Okay? So here's the catch. Here's the problem. You see, in this union, and please make sure that you subscribe and read the story yourself. Go into the story and read more, so the details. So now, you see now, in this union, Namibia cannot make its own trade deals. Okay, let me say that again. We cannot negotiate our own trade agreement with other countries. Not with China, not with the United States, not with anyone. We need permission from South Africa, Botswana, Lesotho, and Eswatini first. Now, imagine you are a grown-up adult living in your parents' house, and they pay some of the bills, but they also tell you who you can be friends with, where you can work, and who you can date. How does that make you feel? How does that feel? Definitely, I think we all know you will be frustrated, right? You will be frustrated. That's where I think Namibia is right now. So that's where Namibia is right now. And it get worse. Now, why it get worse? Because we have got oil coming up. We have gas project on the horizons. Green hydrogen dreams. So we are about to become a major player in the energy game. But our hands are tight. Our hands are tied because of our agreement, because of an agreement that was made over a century ago. Now, what are the voices of frustration? Let's hear. If you go into the articles, well, there are voices of frustration. Down in South Africa, people are starting to talk. Now, a big voice in this conversation is the guy named Wantile Sihlobo. Wantile Sihlobo, he is the chief economist of the Agricultural Business Chamber of South Africa, and he advises the South African president. Now, he is saying something very interesting. He's saying SACU is holding everyone back. So if it's holding everyone's back, why don't you just dismantle it or reform it or exit it? Well, that's the question. And that's the topic of the articles. Now, he's saying SACU is holding everyone's back. His argument is that the world is changing fast. And maybe he's right. The world is changing fast. Countries need to be flexible. You know, we need to be flexible, and they need to make new friends. So we need to make new friends. We need to sign new deals, move quickly. So sometimes you need to move quickly. But SACU is like an old chain holding everyone in place. You know, you're not going to go anywhere. You are just holding one place. Eh? And here's where you get a little bit spicy. Eh? It's getting a bit spicy. Now he says country in SACU aren't even following rules anyway. So we kind of still being held by this old chains, or still actually part of this union, but we aren't even following the rules anyway. Countries are blocking export from other member states. And guess what? Namibia does that too. We do that too. You know, remember when the agronomic board closes our border every now and then? Well, that's how we do it. Just this January, they blocked import of butternut, carrot, cucumber, pumpkin, tomatoes, watermelon. You know, we block imports of and normally these are coming from South Africa. A few come from other countries, Zambia or so, but most of this is coming from South Africa. And why? Why did we do that? Why do we do that? It's actually to protect our local farmers. It's to protect our local farmers. It's to give our producer a chance. So that's why we do that. So now, is that breaking SACU's rules? Technically, yes. Technically, yes. We are breaking, you know, SACU's rule. Is it smart? Maybe. Is it necessary? Well, that's the debate. That's exactly the debate. And that brings us to, actually, it's not just a debate. It's actually the dilemma. That's actually the dilemma. So, and here's the dilemma. Let me just unpack it for you, okay? Now, the dilemma is this. On one hand, SACU revenue is crucial. As I said, it brings a lot of money. It brings a lot of money, and that goes straight to a national budget. So as I said, SACU revenue is very crucial. It funds big chunk of our national budget. All right? Now, without it, where do we find that money? Okay? Just take that money. Okay, now move, go away. All right? Now, get out, exit SACU now. Exit SACU today. Where are you going to find that money? Do we raise taxes? Bad idea. Possibly bad idea. Do we want to raise taxes? Cut spending? Well, not too bad idea. Maybe let's cut some spending. Fire government workers? Well, that would actually cut spending. Eh? Let's fire some government workers. Eh? Well, we're trying now to make money that SACU used to bring in. So how are we going to do that? I think these are not conversations anyone wants to have, don't we? All right. Now, on the other hand, SACU limits our freedom. Well, according to the to the articles, and according to and also according to what the South African said. So it limits our freedom. We can't negotiate our trade deals. We can't protect our infant. Yeah? So we cannot protect our infant industries the way we want to. So we're stuck in a system designed for a different era. This was, how many years actually? It's 100 and something. So it was designed for a different era. Maybe still works. And then, you remember, that's why I said this is a dilemma where it bring in crucial, Sakura revenue is still very, very crucial. And how do you replace that revenue? And also on the other side, we're talking about Sakura limiting our freedom. And well, there's also an elephant in the room. Should be an elephant or should be a ghost? I don't know which one. It could be a ghost. There's also a ghost in the room. Okay, if it's a ghost, is that the most of what Namibia imports, most of what Namibia imports come from South Africa. That's the elephant in the room. Most of what we import come from South Africa. So we are essentially being paid to import more from South Africa. Some people call this a subsidy. Well, others call it dependency. And what do you call it? So what do you call it? Now, let's listen. Let's look at the perspective that is being Namibian perspective from the article. So what are our own people saying? What is our own people saying? Because this is not just about South African economists complaining, as we have heard. So this is also about us. So it's also about us. We have our favorite, Emily Abrahams from the Agronomic Board. So read the article and read her comment as well in the articles. So, and she make a solid point. Really, really a solid point. She say Namibia horticulture industry is still young. The reason why we close and open is because our horticulture industry is very young. Still learning to work, you know? We are actually still learning to work. You don't throw a toddler into a boxing ring with a heavyweight champion and expect them to survive. Yeah. So we are that toddler. Yeah? So you protect them, isn't it? You protect them, you nurture them, you give them time to grow. So, and that's what we're trying to do. So she's not calling for us to leave SACU. All right. She's calling for reform. All right. She's calling for the reform, smart reform. Create exemption for sensitive industries. Let struggle sector get stronger before exposing them to full competitions. We will come back after this.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Our time is about 30 minutes past the hour of 8. And if you're joining us, this is Eagle FM and you are tuned into Unpacking the Day. And we are unpacking SACU. we are unpacking SACU, and we talk about whether we're actually following a story in today's edition of the Villager that looking at whether SACU should be reformed. Should it be reformed or should we exit, being members of SACU? So, and we're looking at some perspective from Namibia, of people that have been interviewed, expert or people that have been interviewed on this subject. And we're looking at we just spoke about Emily Abraham from the Agronomic Board, who is said, well, the Namibia horticulture industry is still young. So it's still young. And so you need to protect it. We need to protect it. We need to protect it. We need to nurture it and give it time to grow. So, and she's calling for us. She's not now calling that we should leave SACU, but she's calling for reform, smart reform. Okay. So she's talking about creating exemption for sensitive industries. So let struggling sectors get strong before exposing them to full competition. It is like training, you know, that training wheels on the bicycle when you're learning to drive the bicycle, you have those training wheels on the bicycle. They call them training wheels, I think. Yeah, training wheels. So you use them until you are ready to ride on your own. So that's kind of what she said. Well, let us first use the training wheels. You know, let the sector grow. Let some of our sector get stronger. And then before, we cannot just expose them to a full competition when we are still, you know, this young. So that makes sense. But she's not actually, you know, advocating that we leave SACU. And then we have, in the same article, we have an economist, Achilles Shifidi, you know, who actually take it further now. Who actually take that further. He says, if Namibia even think about leaving SACU, so we need to make bold moves first. All right? Before you do that, don't just wake up and, you know, you think, hey, I think I have alternatives. Yeah? So before you think that you have alternatives, you have to make bold moves, according to one of the economists, Shifidi. So we need physical independence. So we need mula. We need money. We need to be physically, we need to be, you know, financially independent. That's what I mean, you know? So that means finding new ways to raise money so we don't depend on SACU revenue. And remember what I ask, should we raise taxes or what we should? Should we cutting spending or what do we need to do? So we need to, maybe we need to turn Walvis Bay and Lutris into major trade gateways. Well, that's an opportunity that make us, you know, these logistic humps that we're talking about. So maybe that's a way. Maybe we need to add value to our mineral instead of just shipping the raw materials. Well, that become a source. That could become, that's how we need to raise money, you know? So, and we need to secure our own food supply chain. Yeah, where does our food come from? So before we start actually thinking, hey, pushing our chest out, maybe we need to think. And these are not small steps. These are not small steps. These are massive, massive, massive changes. So the question is, do we have the courage to take them? So that's the question. And also, but we also have another economist, Abraham Ita, he brings up something we need to talk about. I think it's something that we need to talk about. He says, South African analysts are blaming Namibia and Botswana for not following SACU rules. But he flips that script. So now he flipped that script and he said, we are not breaking rules. We are surviving. You know, we are surviving. So what he's saying is that SACU was built around South Africa's big economy. So, I mean, 1910. So South Africa was the biggest economy, and still it is. So we are small players using whatever policy space we have to protect our people, actually to protect our jobs, to protect our sectors. and support local industries. Now, what looks like a rule breaking from Pretoria, on this side, actually, it looks like it's actually economic survival. You know, from Windhoek, it's an economic survival. And he makes another point. Maybe the problem is in SACU holding South Africa back. So maybe South Africa, and he actually, you know, kind of like throw it in their face to say, well, maybe it's not SACU that hold you back. Maybe it's your own problem. You have a lot of problems. Load shedding problem, infrastructure collapse, higher transport cost, policy uncertainty, you know. Maybe that is what holds you back. So it's easier to blame Namibia than to fix those issues, isn't it? So he's actually throw it back in South Africa's face. So Namibia, the big question is, are we ready to have the hard conversation about replacing SACU revenues? Because if we leave, or even if we reform the union, that money might shrink. Where does it come from then? Where are we going to get that money? So if we don't have it then, higher taxes, as I said, mining royalties, tourism, green energy export. But as I said, these are massive change that require money. That require massive, massive, massive money. But what about, okay, maybe let's look at a bigger context. Now, what about the African continental free trade area? So what about it? If it's coming, now just think about it. If it's coming, it promises free trade across the entire continent, isn't it? Now, if that takes off, well, it has taken off, but not in the way, not at the pace that we want, that is expected. So if that takes off, then what is the point of SACU? Why have a smaller custom union when we could be part of the continental market? So do we still actually need SACU? I mean, that's for you to discuss. I'm just throwing that perspective. So, but we can also look at this from the geopolitical angle. Okay? We can also look at from this from geopolitical angle. The world is changing. This is what a South African guy is saying. The world is changing. China is making moves in Africa. The United States is paying attention again. Europe wants green hydrogen. Well, if they still want that. So the Middle East wants partnership. All the country, Iran was here, you know, AAU, whatever it is. They want partnership. And Namibia, with our stability, our resources, our strategic locations, we could be a major, major, major player. So there is that. That's an opportunity. Now, but not if. That's now the question. But not if we are handcuffed. We are handcuffed to a 114 year old agreement that requires to get permission before making friends. Not before that. We're still handcuffed by that. Not if we're still actually handcuffed by that. But you know what? Maybe we forgot something. Okay? So we forgot something important. It's not only us. It's not only us actually being part of SACU. We have neighbors. Three of them. Botswana, Lesotho, and Eswatini. Forget about South Africa. So Botswana, Lesotho, and Eswatini. So they are all in the same boat. Same union, same challenges, isn't it? Now, but here's the fascinating part. They are not all seeing the situation in the same way. They are all not seeing the situation in the same way. So what do you know what I'm thinking? You know, sometime the best lesson comes from watching what your neighbors do right. So what is our neighbor do right? Or what they do wrong? So what are they doing wrong so that we can learn from them? So what we're going to do now, we are going neighborhood shopping. All right? We are going neighborhood shopping. So let's see what lesson can we learn from our neighbors. From our neighbors are handling this SACU situation. How are they handling this SACU situation? Because sometimes the best teacher lives right next door. Yeah. Sometimes that's the best teacher just lives right next door. Okay. Now, let's first start with Botswana. Okay. The diamond child. So let's start with Botswana, our neighbor to the east or to the, it's to the east. Where is it? Botswana. Yeah, it's to the east. The success story. The country everyone points to and say, this is where now the country, it's like a child that, why don't you be like so-and-so? Why don't you be like Thomas? Why don't you be like Mike? So this is why can't you be more like Botswana? So that's mostly what we refer to. Why can't you be more like Botswana? Here's the thing about Botswana. So they are like that kid, as I said, in school who was born rich. Okay? That kid in school that was born rich, but is smart enough to know the money won't last forever. Now, this kid is smart enough to know, okay, I was born in this rich, but this money won't last forever. So diamond made Botswana wealth, real wealth. But now the diamond market is struggling. It is struggling. Prices are down. Demand is weak. Okay. So the demand of diamond is very weak and Botswana is feeling the pain. Now they really, really feeling the pain. In 2024, their physical deficit widened massively because diamond revenue collapses. So the diamond revenues collapsed. So, and here is where now SACU comes in. So here is now where SACU comes in for Botswana. According to recent report, SACU revenue now account for about 33% of Botswana domestic revenue. 33% of Botswana domestic revenue. That's higher than Namibia, 26%. Yep, think about that. So Botswana, the poster child of good governance and economic management, is now more dependent on SACU than we are. They are more dependent on SACU than we are. But here is what's interesting. Okay? Here is now what is interesting. But Botswana is not panicking. They are not talking about leaving SACU. Instead, they are doing something smart. They are doing something smart. Do you know what it is? Do you know what they are doing? They are diversifying like their life depend on it. They are diversifying like their life depend on it. And because it does, actually. Because they have no choice anymore. Their life depend on it. Now, the new government that came in recently has a clear diversification strategy. They have a really clear diversification strategy. They are pushing beyond diamonds. So looking at other minerals like critical minerals, copper, nickel, they are trying to become logistic hub. So they are investing in tourism. They are reforming their economy to attract private sector's investment. So, as I said, they are diversifying like their life depend on it, because it does. And they are doing all this while staying in SACCU. They are not seeing SACCU as a problem. They are seeing their over-reliance on one sector as the problem. So they are seeing that relying on one sector is actually a problem. And they have been for years, they have been relying on one sector. Now they're seeing that as a problem, and that's why they are diversifying. So what can we learn? What can Namibia learn from Botswana? Simple. You can stay in SACCU and still build economic independence. Those two are not exclusive. You diversify your revenue base so that SACCU, the SACCU money becomes a bonus. Well, unless I'm not thinking this right. Yes, then SACCU money becomes a bonus, not a lifeline. So Botswana is showing us that the problem is not SACCU. The problem is putting all your, as they said, putting all your eggs in one basket. And they learn probably, they learn that at the harder ways. So you diversify your revenue based so that now that SACCU money becomes a bonus. That's one thing we can learn from Botswana. So, SACCU is not a problem. So the problem is putting all your eggs in one basket. Now, let's go to Lesotho. Okay? Let's go to Lesotho. Now, this is the most, maybe not the most dependent of all. I think, yeah, Lesotho is the most dependent of all. Now, the mountain kingdom completely surrounded by South Africa. So, let's completely set up. They say Lesotho is our neighbor. Is it because of the distance? But they are not our neighbor. Because you get to a neighbor to get to a neighbor. You know, you get now to South Africa as your neighbor to get to another country as your neighbor. How can Lesotho is now not our, it's not our neighbor. So, because they, you have to get to a neighbor to go to a neighbor. No, it doesn't work that. So if you think Namibia or Botswana are dependent on SACCU, wait until you hear about Lesotho. Now, SACCU revenues account for approximately 45% of their total government revenue. 45% of their total government revenue. Almost half. Eh? Almost half. Think about it. Seriously. Let that sink in. Let 45%. So Lesotho economy run on three things. Okay? It's run on three things. Water royalty from selling, water to South Africa through that Lesotho Highland Water Project, which phase two that they want to. Remember what we talked last time? That's one of the source of revenue, water royalties from selling water to South Africa. Okay? That's one. The second is textile factories that export to America and under AGOA. So, and then AGOA, the African Growth, and what is OFO? The African Growth and Opportunity Act. Okay? All right. So, and then SACCU money. And then SACCU money. So, that's it. That is the economy. Yeah? That is the economy. So, now, you might think Lesotho would be desperate to leave SACCU. Okay? Wrong. They can't. They are completely landlocked inside South Africa. Every import comes through South Africa. Every export goes through South Africa. So their economy is so intertwined with South Africa that leaving SACCU would be economic suicide. It would be economic suicide. But here is what is brilliant about South Africa. But about Lesotho's strategy. They found a way to work around SACCU limitation. Those textile factories, they employed 10 of thousands of people. they export primarily to the United States under AGOA, which gives them a duty-free access to American market. So while SACU limit what they can negotiate, AGOA gives them a backdoor to global markets. So it is not, it's not the ideal, but it is survival. And you know, the recently there have been talk about AGOA being threatened by a new American tariff policies, like anybody else. So Lesotho is scrambling to save that industry. So because they know if AGOA goes and SACU money drops, they are in serious trouble. So now, what is the lesson for Namibia here? Even when you are trapped in a system, from what I see is that even if you are trapped in a system, you find a creative way to access global market. Eh? You find a creative way to access global market. So Lesotho show us that bilateral agreement like AGOA can coexist with SACU. We need to be more aggressive in seeking these opportunities. But there's also a warning here. Don't become too dependent. That's a warning. Don't become too dependent, because Lesotho is now at the mercy of the decision made where? Made in Washington and made in Pretoria. So hoping that all those make, you know, decision more preferably, I mean, more favorably. So they have almost no economic sovereignty. Is that where we want Namibia to be? Is that where we want Namibia to be? Now, let's go to Eswatini quickly, and then I can allow you to come through. There are those who were trying to call. I just wanted to give you a bigger picture, and then you can come in with your comment as well. So now Eswatini, formerly known as Swaziland, and this is where the story gets a bit concerning. Now, Eswatini is facing what economists call physical cliff, that you're just about to, you know, it's like someone, you haven't jumped yet, but you put the rope around your neck. Now, SACU revenues have been declining in Eswatini. Now, unlike Botswana, Eswatini hasn't diversified. They haven't diversified. Unlike Lesotho, they don't have major textile export or water royalties. They just stuck. So Eswatini is just stuck. Now, not long ago, African Development recently actually warned Eswatini about SACU risk. They said if SACU transfer decline further, the fiscal deficit will widen again. And the IMF is urging fiscal restraint. He said, well, watch your spending. So there are reports of cash flowing challenges in that country. Government worker worried about salaries and project being delayed. So, and here's the painful part. Now, despite claim of economic growth, poverty levels in Eswatini remain higher. Absolutely higher. Real higher. Because the SACU money is going to the government operation. You understand? The money that comes in from SACU, it goes to the government operation, not to development, not job creation or not building industries. It goes to the operations. And also, Eswatini is facing political challenges. They're facing political challenge, internal instability, you know, question about governance. So these things scare away investors. So even if they want to diversify their economy, who is going to invest in an unstable environment? So as I said, these things scares away investors. So what is our lesson now from Eswatini? Now, I think SACU dependency without diversification is a ticking time bomb. It's a ticking time bomb. You cannot just sit there collecting saku checks and hope everything will be fine. It won't be. So Eswatini is showing us our worst case scenario. What happened when saku revenue drop and you have no plan B? No alternative revenue sources. No diversified economy. Just bills to pay and not enough money coming in. So that's, they are showing us our worst case scenario. So now, as I said, you must come now. So let's compare now, okay, quickly. We have four countries, not counting South Africa. So all in SACU, all receiving revenues, but look at how different they are, okay? Now, Botswana get 33% of government revenue from SACU. They are actively diversifying, reforming, and building alternatives. They see the writing on the walls that, you know, if we don't diversify, if we are not reforming, we will come to a coup d'etat. Yeah? Not coup d'etat, to, what is it? To a detour. Where did I get that? To the detour, you know? Now, Lesotho get 45% from SACU. They are deeply dependent, but have found creative workarounds through AGOA and water royalties to South Africa. So they are surviving. Well, they are surviving, but not thriving, definitely. So, and then Eswatini gets significant SACU revenue. They got significant SACU revenue, but they are in a crisis mode. They are in a crisis mode, no diversification, no plan B. They are struggling. In Namibia, we get a 26% SACU. We get a 26% from SACU. Now, we have oil. We have oil and gas coming. Maybe we shouldn't mention the things that we hope are coming. Let's say things that we have. No, we have Wavish Bay. Okay? We have green hydrogen potential. I'm saying potential because so we haven't seen much yet, you know, of what has been promised. Now we have green hydrogen potential. We have tourism. We have fishing. Of course we have fishing. We have agriculture. We actually have more going for us than any of the three countries. So why are we the one talking about leaving SACU? Maybe this could be possible because we can afford to think about it. Okay, let's have our chest out. Eh? Maybe we can afford to think about it. Or maybe because we are actually having alternatives. Or maybe because we are finally waking up to the fact that dependency, no matter how comfortable, it is still dependency. All right? It's still dependency. So, but here's what I want you to think about Namibia. So Botswana is showing us that you can reduce SACU dependence while staying in the union. You diversify your revenue base, you build other sectors, you become less reliant over time. So, is that the smart path for Namibia? That's for you now to come through and let me know. Lesotho is showing us that even when you are trapped, you can find creative solution. AGOA, water royalties, just an example, bilateral deals. Are we being creative enough in seeking these opportunities? Other opportunities, maybe not specifically this, but we're not going to look for water royalties. But are we smarter enough? Are we creative enough in seeking other opportunities than just actually depending on SACU? Well, Eswatini is showing us the danger of complacency. Eh? If we are complacent, you cannot just collect SACU money and doing nothing. So that's part, that path, that's actually a path to crisis. So are we doing enough? Well, and it's a very serious one. Are we doing enough to avoid that fate? So because there are a lot that we are dependent on, as much as we have alternatives, there are a lot that we are dependent on. And here's another angle. All three of these countries are more dependent on SACCU than we are. Botswana at 33%, Lesotho 45%, and we are at 26%. Yet, we are the ones making the most noise about reform or exit. Why? Is it because we are in a better position to negotiate? Or is it because we are not thinking strategically? Eh? Which one is it? And what do you think? 0833-66091. So you're most welcome to come through. I know it's money. I know it's SACCU. So do come through. What is your take? What is your reaction to that? So 0833-66091.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna iimatina omjo. Chikao shafathana na nalongeshifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotitha mwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Zeitha nina omayakuro nirandithoma yoe yongeshifa yoe okupitiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konara hita tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oni yaaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right. Welcome back. Our time is about 5 minutes past the hour of nine. And if you just joining us, this is Unpacking Today on Eagle FM. And we're looking at the article in today's edition of the Villager about SACCU. Should it be reformed? Do we need SACCU? Or should members like Namibia exit SACCU? So do we have alternative that would replace the revenues that we get from SACCU? So, all right, that's what we're talking about. We're looking also, and then I went a little bit looking to other countries that are a member of SACCU as well, country, not South Africa necessarily, looking at Botswana, Lesotho, and Swaziland, and Eswatini, sorry, because each of these countries looking at this differently. So, and what what can we learn from the way they're looking at this and from how they handle SACCU revenues and, you know, how they approach this whole issue and this whole situation. So that's what we were looking at. So, yeah. So that's what we learned that. So, and when we look at the neighbor, Botswana teaches that you can reduce SACCU dependence through smart diversification while staying in the union. You don't have to choose between SACCU and independence. So you build independence over time. Okay. So, and Lesotho teaches that creativity matters. Even in a difficult position, you find way to access global markets. So AGOA, we probably do that. Water export, like Lesotho is doing, bilateral deals. So there are always opportunity if you are willing to look for them. So what Eswatini is actually warning us, it's warn us that dependency without diversification lead to crisis. It's lead to crisis. You cannot just collect SACCU checks and then hope for the best. So that is a recipe for disaster. So, and when we compare ourselves to all three, we realize something important, that Namibia is actually in the best position. We are in the best position. We are the least dependent. We have the most potential: oil, gas, ports, tourism, agriculture, green hydrogen. So we are in the best position. So maybe the question is not whether to leave SACCU. Maybe the question is, how do we leverage our strength to become less dependent while negotiating better terms? Maybe that's the question, because here's the truth. Botswana is more dependent than us, but they're not panicking. They are planning. They are building. They are diversifying. So, and they are doing it without threatening to leave. So maybe we should take notes. Well, the debate continues. What do you think, Namibia? Should we follow Botswana's path, learn from Lesotho's creativity, or heed Eswatini's warning? So are we better off reforming SACCU from within, or do we need a clean break? Eh? Do we need a clean break? So 08-08-08-333-6091, 08-333-6091. So what is your reactions? What is your take? So,
my friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I.
No matter where you...
All right, good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome. So welcome to Eagle FM's. I said, welcome to Eagle FM's and welcome to your number one talk radio stations. All right, so we're talking about SACCU, and from what we have looked at, SACCU is both a blessing, it could be. So SACCU is both a blessing and a curse. All right. So it brings in revenue that funds our national budget, but it limits our economic freedom and our ability to negotiate trade deals independently. So that's why I said it's both a blessing and a curse. So on one hand, it brings in funds, and on the other, it's limiting our ability to negotiate, trade deals independently. Well, South Africa Voice are calling for reform. They're calling for reform, but their criticism of Namibia and Botswana misses actually the point. So we are not breaking the rules. As you can see, we are protecting our young industries and our people. So, yeah, and Namibia expert, if you look at the article that we're following, are divided. They are divided. Some want reform with exemption for sensitive sectors, as Emery Abraham advocate. Others say we need to prepare for life after SACCU by building financial or physical independence and economic sovereignty. So, yeah, the big question is not just reform or exit, okay? Is it reform or exit? I think it's whether Namibia is ready to take bold steps towards economic independence. So are we ready to diversify our revenue sources? Something that we keep saying, something we keep talking about. So are we ready to diversify our revenue sources? Are we ready to add value to our resources? Are we ready to negotiate our place in the world? That is, and here's the final thought on this topic. SACCU was created in 1910. So it was created in 1910. The world has changed. Africa has changed. Namibia has changed. So maybe it's time our agreement changed too. So what do you think? So the debate is open. What do you think, Namibia? Let's talk about it, because this is not just an economic issue. This is about who we are and who we want to become. So the debate should go on. All right. 0833-66091. 0833-66091. So you're welcome to bring to air your opinion and react to what we have bring you so far. 0833-66091. So when we come back, if you don't come through, we move to our second story.
Omutiha kutekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikao shafa sana nana longe shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene. Anange shifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayaguro nirandithoma yoe yonge shifa yoe okupitiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimwepo yomo programa betu. Moambo dengira selma onorahe tatu imwe. Datundatu heari hamano tano oniari. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back, and a very good morning to you if you just joining us. Our time is 16 minutes past the hour of 9, and we have been talking about SACCO and whether should, you know, is the question, is about whether it should be reformed or should we exit, SACCO. Well, as I said earlier on, so are we ready? So Namibia is it ready to take bold steps towards, you know, economic independence? This is what it's all about. So are we ready to diversify our revenue sources? Those are the questions. Are we ready to add value to our resources? So are we ready to negotiate our own place, you know, in the world? Those are the questions. It's not really about SACCO, I think. So, yeah, and also looking at that, times have changed. SACCO was created in 1910. Maybe we that need to change as well. Maybe that need a smart reform, you know, agreement. We need to time our agreement to change too. All right. So, as I said, you're most welcome to come through and have your reactions. So what do you think? Namibia, so 8-333-66-091. So we're moving on. 18 minutes. It's passing the hour of 9. And we go. We are going until. So we're going up to 9, up to 10 o'clock. I'm going backwards. So we go up to 10 o'clock and we will be handing over to France. We'll be handing over to France. My mind actually at the moment there was absolutely empty. Absolutely, absolutely empty. So we will be handing over to France around 10 o'clock with Kutha Mosha coming your way around 10 o'clock.
A very good morning.
Yes, that's Mike.
Good morning, man. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
We're all right. It's a Monday morning.
Yes, Monday morning. That means my blue Monday.
Yeah, for so many people, it's a blue.
Yeah.
Yeah, so some of us, it's a green one.
It's always
how you prepare that for, you know, what you did yesterday. It's what actually make your Monday today.
Someone see that there was a Saturday or Sunday. From Friday to Monday.
I mean, what are you chasing? Life, you will leave it here. You will leave it here. Kotu Ifioku, my friend. No matter how much you chase.
They say, come on, leave it your life before you die. Eh? You live it once, huh?
you don't just work. No. Sometimes, you know, work and play. That's important. Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
SACCO, my friend, we've been complaining about SACCO for a little long, but I think we are really not doing anything. Even though, if we are not moving out, let us reform some laws.
Yeah.
Where some law is not very benefiting our Namibian nation.
And I think all members are found, they get actually restricted by these laws, but they don't seem want to do something. They just complacent because it's 100 and something, 114 years ago.
Yeah, just imagine if you are saying it was created in 1910.
It was created in 1910.
How clear is that? You didn't know.
We were not even independent by then. Yeah.
Aye, man. So, no, it's that time I think we need to reform some law of this, like, what is happening to SACCO. Maybe it's good when you look at the other thing, but serious, I think for us, we are in the better position of to negotiate ourselves now.
Yeah, no, Namibia is far in a better position than other countries, but you can see that other countries are also doing something, like Botswana, for example, you know?
Yeah.
Mm.
Because the way I'm saying also that is because I see there are a lot of candles in the world interested in Namibian, you know.
Yeah.
You talk about even America, they want to come to for oil. You talk about Germany, UK, they are interested in Denmark. They are all interested in what?
The Middle East are interested in Africa now, in Namibia. So the China, you know, everyone.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone is interested in Namibia.
Exactly.
And now it's I think it's the best time for to negotiate for ourselves. Instead of going for SAC, waiting for SAC, SAC is hearing a lot of old law. Some of them even entering to getting an agreement with those countries which we are mentioning now.
Yeah, but I think for me, what I'm thinking is just to say, look, let's reform it. It's good money that's coming from there that's still very useful. We can have that. It shouldn't be exclusive. Like, okay, it's either this or that. No, we can always say that we can have both. As long as they are not exclusive of each other, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
The only thing I'm looking at is that even with the money we are getting good money with sometimes we are allocating to the national budget.
Yeah.
And now I'm looking at this, that this can be just additional money. It will come, but it's not really, even it's not there, it's not really going to affect our budget.
Yeah.
Well, now, look, maybe we put it this. It's like when you are getting your bonus or your maybe it will be like the one of this.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at it, because we are depending on too much. When we are looking at it, we already know that we need this money for SACO. But now, I think when it comes to mine, we need to increase our loyalty. Taxes. Because taxes, we are not getting what we're supposed to get in taxes, the mine. We are getting a little bit different. Even we find it that last time, even when I was checking our budget, that's made in agriculture, which we don't have. It's more than in my mind. But you're having a lot of mine here.
Yeah, everything in Namibia, and that it's all, all things are coming. We're also are just looking at things that are coming. We're talking about green hydrogen, still a potential.
Yeah.
It's still in infancy stage. We're waiting for oil, and that's going to come after 10 years, you know. The production is going to come after some times, you know. It's not something that you can look at it now and say, you know, you can think about it, get excited about it, but 10 years from now, it's a long time. Many things can happen.
Exactly.
Many things can happen, my friend.
So,
and 26% from a share of SACU revenue, it's actually a lot, believe me. Our national budget actually depend on. It's quite a lot, and we need to change that dependency. It may not like other countries, but still for us, we should look at that and say, Nana, we need to change that. Yeah.
We need to. Mm. Because I'm looking at it now, like the way you are giving the comparison of what, you see, Lesotho, not Lesotho, what the other country you are talking about?
Swatini, yeah.
Yeah. Just imagine now, Swatini, how is to become so vulnerable.
Yeah. Because it's the same thing. We're talking about diversification, but we're not implementing it. So we are definitely falling in the same.
If you look at Namibia, we are almost the same, like when it comes to research.
Yeah.
Because what we're getting from South Africa, everything from starting from the fruit, vegetable, you go to cattle over here, unless we are going to say we have got them here. Then we sell them at a stage.
Hmm.
And in South Africa, they make it what meat and what processing, what those spices and the beef, they bring it here.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make sense. We are more honest with the Swatini. What is happening to Swatini? Because here we are not doing really, we are not really benefiting to our meat when it comes to agriculture. I'm telling you. just meeting, we are here, we are crying for, I see even our president is talking to us, he's talking about water there. But I'm wondering, we have nicked them, which is still out there with water, for water.
Mm.
And they're like, we don't know what we to do with it. And this is there, talking about water and the sanitation.
Yeah.
Then wondering now, what if people like, oh, okay, what are you done in Namibia if you are talking about African to be like that? And then you have a situation where people are burning every day in Kabashu. But you guys are just 3.7.
Mm.
Comparing to other countries like Angola, we always do comparison, and Zimbabwe, which are having a lot of people.
Yeah.
Hmm? Now, I think it's our time for us. Sometimes these things we need to talk about at home. Like now, you guys, we know you're all facing sanitation. That's why sometimes we have a breakthrough with this, what, hepatitis E.
Mm.
Yeah, because people have come in contact with what in the West. And now, why you cannot just pay even municipality? I'll give you what? 12 months to all those people to have the sanitation.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe we can work on it with a solar panel, but seriously, sanitation, it should be supposed to be a priority to everybody.
Yeah.
Because we know. And the thing is that when we are talking about even like a shako, I think for us, we need also to maneuver it. Even though they still exist, we can find our way out. Sometimes the way I'm looking at it, the ways our African are doing to us, we almost the same like Swatini, because now South Africa is going to Angola to get oil.
Yeah.
Then they travel all the way, they come out, they are going to get the very, very what, then they bring it back to us. And as a Namibian, we are using that. Why we don't do it ourselves? Even though we can say, no, this guy who are having a red line here, you guys can buy because the service out there are there. We can work out something that you go to buy oil from refinery at Lobito.
Hmm.
Yeah, since South Africa is, your South Africa just end up, I think even the SACO, it just end up with the commercial here. Yeah. And enough, I don't think we can apply for it. No, unless, I don't understand, maybe somebody has to come and collect us.
Yeah.
But the way I'm looking at it, that right line is already cutting off the SACO. So we just here. Between the red line and the South African and Botswana and the UNIM, so all those one who are involved.
Mm.
Because in Angola, I know Angola is not involved in Zimbabwe. That's why Angola is there doing their own thing there.
Yeah.
Angola, my friend, the industry is there, but as a Namibian, we are just looking for it because we come out, we don't have agreement with Angola.
Yeah, no, I think those are these are countries that have been okay. Botswana a little bit different, but when you look at Namibia, Lesotho, and Swaziland, they were more like province of South Africa.
Yeah, South Africa. Yeah.
Yeah, and Botswana definitely because of the culture and it. We were all. That's a commercial coming up quickly.
All right.
Imbaya rire ombwa nai etetwa weda kwa ombu nikiro ombe ombi hukusha. Njiviro yoye irire ombupu ohakane na wina ikare no matha kumurungu wa indu. Walirongere kusha umune ondengu ukura kwa imba. Una ovi unedia peke kwa ondola mirongo vitatu na hambu umwe mumwezi. Kwa opwika ovingi no kukara norupa ondando ya peke yukia nja oshimariva. Olo peresente dano kumyeze vitatu moshimariva. Olo peresente umurongo kumyeze hambu umwe moshimariva. Olo peresente umirongo ivari na dano. Kumyeze mulongwa na bivari moshimarifu. Nitororela ondengu chima yu ngura na wakove na wina onyano kife. Ashiesho imba ye kupe oshimariva shishihina omarifiro. Imba o maoronga neno uye buha kainina. Itako na wina rishangika jinon.
All right.
Yeah, Mike.
You know, I was saying when you look at it, the countries that are part of this union is they were more like a South African province. So they Botswana because of the Tswana, you know, connect to South Africa. Namibia was under South African administration.
South Africa.
Well, Lesotho is, it's just, I mean, that just happened to be a country in another country. The same thing with, the same, more or less the same thing with Swaziland. Yeah, so, yeah, no, I think one can look at that. And the thing is this, there have been system that were actually put up to serve kind of like South Africa, you know, in a way, the bigger economy. And we never did anything. We didn't do anything since then, you know.
Yeah, because
it's coming to haunt us now. Yeah,
it's haunting us big time, because you remember one thing, that even though we are in agreement, we are in the same circle with Botswana.
Yeah,
we cannot end the agreement between Namibia and the Botswana without SACU approval. You know that.
Yeah, yeah, no, definitely.
Which is totally wrong. Now we are talking about sovereign country.
Mm.
When you are saying we are independent, what are you telling us if we cannot done a deal without the SACU agreement between two countries? It's wrong.
Yeah.
Because that's why maybe I think also we are getting 3% when it comes to our mind, because of those things.
Yeah, I mean, definitely.
If you look in the big picture, because some of these, they are the ones who are handling, because now they come up with like, okay, because now the people, person is offering 10%, and now, okay, what about like, involvement, and now maybe you can say, no, instead of getting 10%, and now you are getting 9, because now because of people, this guy has to pay the what royalty and what, all those things, it's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah. And then you can imagine the process, how long that will take. Because you have to consult the other side.
You have to consult them. Yeah, they have to wait for the paperwork and everything. No.
Yeah.
I think we need to go deeper in this circle.
Yeah, no, it's a topic that need to be really discussed and brought to light. Yeah,
very much.
Mm.
Anyway, Mike, let me give other people a chance.
All right. Thanks for coming through.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, great. 08333-66091. 08333-66091. We're coming to you direct and live from Ondangwa Studio. And good morning. Good morning, Namibia. So welcome back to Unpacking the Day. Now, let me paint the picture for you, okay? Okay, now we're getting into a different topic, all right? So I want to paint the picture for you. Imagine you wake up in the morning, you stretch and you yawn, and what is the first thing you do? So you head to the bathroom, okay? You head to the bathroom, right? So turn on the tap, brush your teeth, use the toilet, maybe take a shower. So now, simple routine. Now, we don't even think about it. So that you don't even think about that routine. But what hit me this morning, when I read this story,
my friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
All right, welcome back. So we were looking at, okay, I gave you that scenario. As I said, you know,
with that routine in the morning, you don't even think about it. So, and what hit me this morning, it's when I read the story, it's a story also in our e-newspaper, in the Villager. So that means four out of every 10 Namibians or Namibian families, that morning routine that I have just described, that morning routine, it doesn't exist. You know, that morning routine, it doesn't exist. Not the way we just imagine it, the way we just, you know, just describe it now. So, something is, okay. So, President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah, just stood up yesterday. It was over the weekend stood up at the African Union summit in Addis Ababa and told the entire continent something we have been trying to ignore for far too long, I think. So she said we need to get serious about toilets. Simply about toilets, about clean water and about sanitations. That's also what Mandume was alluding to. Now, well, it sounds like, when I told you now, talk about toilet and clean water, it sounds like a boring police talk, but just hear me out. What she's really talking about, it was dignity. What she was really talking about, it was about our dignity. She's talking about whether young, so she was talking about whether a young girl can go to school during her period without shame. She's talking about whether your grandmother or your grandfather, an old person, has to walk into the bush at night, or not even at night, it could be during the day, and risking in some areas in the bush, maybe risking snakes, risking safety, risking their safety, just to relieve themselves. So, as I said, she was talking about dignity. Now, you know how much I love numbers, okay? So, the Namibian Statistics Agency dropped a report late last year that I think that should have made all of us actually stop in our tracks. So, 40 to 43% of our households, 40 to 43% of our households, that's nearly half of our country. Nearly half of our country don't have proper toilets. Okay? Don't have proper toilets. Now, we're not talking about fancy bathroom with hot water and tiles. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about basic toilets, basic dignity. That's what we're talking about. That's what the president is referring to. Now, the president went to Ethiopia and connected some dots. So the president connects some dots that I think we need to understand. So please make sure that, you know, you subscribe to The Villager, because this is also a story by Louise Shimi in today's Villager. So she said, the president said something that might sound dramatic at first, but when you think about it, it make a perfect sense. It's actually make a perfect sense. So she linked water scarcity. I think she linked water scarcity and poor sanitation to conflict, to people moving around, to tension between communities and even between countries. So, and think about it in this way. I mean, you know, and we have seen it in our country as well. So if your village has no clean water, what do? You move, you pack up your family and you go looking for water. Normally people only settle where there's water. Maybe you cross into another region. Maybe you end up in informal settlement around the cities. Maybe you cross, okay? You cross the borders. In some country, there are people who cross both the borders and start to live in another country because that's where there is water. Eh? So now, think of what the president thinks. Now, multiply that by thousands and by millions across Africa. Suddenly, you have a competition for resources. You definitely have now competition for resources. You have people desperate. You have people tension rising. Yeah? The president is saying we can prevent this, but only if we invest now in making sure that everyone have access to water and proper sanitation. She also mentioned Sustainable Development Goal 6, the SDG 6. Now, that is the global target that says by 2030, everyone should have clean water and decent sanitation. We are in 2026 now. Now, people, we are in 2026. That gives us 4 years. 4 years to fix a problem that affects nearly half of our population. So does that seem realistic? Well, that all depends. It all depends on whether we treat this as a crisis as it is actually, as actually it is. So do we treat it as a crisis or we just some kind of an afterthought? So the president talked about our national water supply and sanitation policy. It means that we have a plan. All right? We do have a plan. The plan says we are going to provide sustainable access to safe water and improve sanitation by involving communities and setting clean target for 2030. Okay? Now, it emphasizes not wasting water and protecting the environment while we do this. So that's the emphasis in that policy. On the paper, it looks good. So on the paper, it looks good. The question is, as we always do here, are we moving fast enough? Okay? Are we really moving fast enough to provide water, safe water? Are we putting money where our policy is? That's the question. Are we putting money where our policy? And speaking of the money, so the president mentioned that Africa needs additional $30 billion every year. $30 billion every year. Every year to achieve climate resilient water system and sustainable sanitation by 2030. $30 billion. Well, that's not small money. That's not a small number. That's quite a lot of money that's needed. And that's not something anyone or any one country can handle alone. That's massive. No one country can be able to handle that alone. And which is why she's calling for commitment from member states and development partners and private sectors and private companies to step up. So that's what she was saying, step up. And that's a call for Namibians as well. Namibian companies, you know, development partner in Namibia, friends of Namibia, you know, private companies in Namibia to step up. Eh? So, now, I want you to think about what this means practically. What does it mean practically? We talk about sanitation investment. Are we not just talking about, you know, and we're not just talking about building, you know, building toilets in communities. So when we talk about that, it's not just building toilets in a community. We are talking about maintaining them as well. Training people to keep system running. Creating jobs in water management and sanitation services. So we're talking about entire supply chains, pipes, pumps, treatment facilities, waste management. You know, this is economic activity. And this is employment and this is development. Huh? That's what the president is talking about. So the president is also announced something that sound, that should make us proud. Okay. So she also mentioned something. She announced something that should make us proud. The Global Water Partnership Organization is moving its headquarters to Namibia. All right. It's moving its headquarters to Namibia. So now, well, this is not just what the English says. This is not just a nice feather in our cap, you know? You know those feathers you embalinga lo shike? Lo shike? Ohalika alino okarwenya. So it's not just a nice feather in a cap. So now, this is international recognition. Yes, it's an international recognition. It says the world sees Namibia as serious about water management and regional cooperation. So now, but with that recognition comes responsibility. Comes responsibility. We need to walk the talk. Eh? We need to talk the walk. No. It's only the other way around. So we need to walk the talk. Okay? So how can we honest? How can we the thing is this, how can we host a global water partnership when 4 out of 10 of our people don't have proper toilets? That's why I said it comes with responsibility. Maybe, and that's good thing. We kind of put ourselves forward and said, hey, we want to take that responsibility. We want to make changes. We want to bring changes to our country. So I think it's a very, as I said, it's something that we should be proud of. Okay. So, but let's still bring back, you know, this to more something we can relate. You also have to think about health. Okay. We cannot have a good health without sanitation. So diseases like chlorella, what are other diseases that come from waterborne diseases? Waterborne, chlorella, typhoid, diarrhea, you know, these thrive where sanitation is poor. And there are the regions that actually experience this in our country. Children die from diarrhea because caused by dirty water and poor sanitation. Not because we don't have medicines. Sometimes it's not because we don't have medicine or not because we don't have doctors. But because we are drinking contaminated water and living in unsanitary conditions. So the president is saying this is preventable. That's what the president is saying. It is preventable. It is fixable. Eh? If that's an English word. It's fixable and we have to prioritize it. That's what our president was saying. We need to prioritize it. And there is also the question of dignity that keeps coming up. That question of dignity keeps coming back. So imagine being a teenager, okay? And this is a story that happened in some other region. Being a teenager, teenage girl in a household without a toilet. Imagine going to school and not having access to clean facilities during your menstrual cycle. And many girls simply stop going to school when they hit puberty because of this. And there were statistics, I think a couple of years ago, maybe 2 years ago or something like that, telling about sanitary conditions, you know, in rural area and how affect actually school-going girls. So, and in that cases, you're losing potential career people, like you're losing potential doctors, engineers, teachers, yeah, and leaders. Why? Because of toilets. Yeah, just because of toilets or a lack of it, a lack of them, you know. So when the president talks about dignity, this is what she means. The basic human right to privacy. to cleanness, to managing your body without shame. Well, I know she's talking about that on an international level, but she should be talking, she should be pushing this locally. Eh? We will treat it with urgency itself. Are we treating it with urgency as it deserves? Because at the end of the day, this isn't really about pipes and toilets. It's about whether every Namibian child can grow up with dignity. Whether every grandmother, grandfather can live her or his final years with a comfort and safety. Eh? It's whether every community can be healthy and productive. And that's what's really at stake here. That's what is at stake here. And remember, access to clean water, access to clean water and sanitation is not a privilege. It is a human right. All right? It is a human right. Well, and that's bring us to 10 o'clock. That's bring us to the end of hour of this episode of Unpacking the Day. And I'm going to leave you in the hands of a capable man, Franz. It's coming up and I will be handing over to him. I will handing over now, you know, the mic to the Windhoek studio, to the Capital studio, and for Tete Franz to bring you Kutha Mosha. For me, Mike Oshavedi, I wish you a very productive a week ahead, and also a very wonderful day ahead. So for me, Mike Oshavedi, until tomorrow, goodbye for now.